Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Attention all theater lovers, this Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Did you bring wine?
I got the glasses.
You guys, I made a quiz.
No, I didn't bring anything, but I'm here to have fun.
Hello, and welcome to the official Broad Wasted podcast, where we're drunk on theater. I'm your host, Brian Plofsky, and there's something called forever in one more mile, but I'd rather spend 1 minute holding you. There's a bubble around my heart, so please stay out of here without regret. It will be Mark, or maybe it'll be Chloe. No, it's an elk, but you can see the moon today. I stole a bus on prom night, but if I stay clean, then you'll bring back my boy. Please stay. Joining us today are the usual bright and shiny bubble boys, including Kevin Decontaminate Me Jager.
Is that really Bubble Boy the musical?
Yeah, so here's the thing. We've done a lot of Dear Evan Hansen openings, so I went with Bubble Boy because he's waving through a bubble.
I appreciate that.
Sure.
So especially the explanation. Like, now I'm on board.
Yeah.
And because Sam could certainly star. I'm ready.
Right.
Oh, I would love to see that. It's Bubble Boys by the same people who did Schmigadoon.
Oh. Coming to theaters near you.
Plus.
Yeah, exactly. Kimberly, our Falling for the Boy game master and unofficial babysitter for the hour.
Why, hello.
And with us, somebody who may have seen the Addams Family and Dear Evan Hansen, let's give a big Broadway welcome to friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Sam Prima.
Hello, everyone. This is so, so crazy. I am so happy to be here.
Wait, why is this crazy?
I was saying this before too, but I am a huge fan of the show. I have been for so long. It's so funny because I would always be like, I wonder what it would be like. Like, what would my answer to this question be? And now we're here on Zoom. So this is very cool. Thanks for having me.
We'll find out what your answer to these questions.
Okay.
Yeah. But let's start out the same way we always start out. What are you drinking? So Sam, why don't we start with you?
Well, because I am underage. I really felt like I had to commit to the bit of being underage. So sure. I did make myself
commit
a
to the
Shirley Temple. Of course, Sprite, Grenadine, the whole works. I really felt like I had to really commit to that bit specifically. So that is what I'm drinking today.
Amazing.
Okay. That makes me really happy. That you
I love Shirley Temples.
Oh, yeah. I was going down to the bodega like, you have Shirley Temples. They're like, oh, yeah, here you go.
Awesome. Kevin, what are you drinking?
That's so good. I am drinking, have you seen one of those, like, I think they're called, like, Simply Ice or something? I don't know. It's like a sparkling lemonade, and I poured tequila in it.
Ooh.
It's really good. I mean, it's a weird combination because it's just sparkling lemonade and tequila. I feel like it needs something else to like smooth it out. But like, I'm a big boy and it's in a wicked cup. So like, I'm making it work.
Is that the new wicked cup? It looks nice, fresh.
It is. I got this at the invited dress rehearsal. because I felt like I had to have a cocktail. And like, I got a big like elf of a cocktail thing with vodka in it. And they were like, by the way, you can't bring that inside.
And what?
Like, what? And then they're like, and we're starting in 10 minutes. So I was like, well, I guess we're going to have a really great act one. And
I was going to say, how was act one?
And I just drank the whole thing and it was the best thing I've ever seen.
Why not also be tipsy by defying gravity?
It's also wild for you to have a pristine plastic cup and say you got it at Invited Dress. I was like, from like 25 years ago? Like, you take care of your plastic dishware really nicely.
Adina gave you that
before they had branded cups.
As Adina was flying up in the air for the Invited Dress, she threw the cup out and I'm the one who caught it.
Perfect. Yeah, like a t-shirt gun.
Poured it in there. It was amazing.
Kimberly, what are you drinking?
I have some J.J. Corey Irish whiskey.
Nice, nice.
With just a little bit of water because I'm a baby.
Oh, that whiskey's so good.
It's delicious, though. Brian, what do you have?
I have a Yards Brewing Company Pale Ale made right here in fabulous Philadelphia.
Oh, I like that can. I thought it was just a cool like pineapple seltzer, but no.
Oh yeah, beer. It kind of looks like that, but no, just a just a pale ale. Okay. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to talk to Evan Hansen. We're going to talk a lot of things, but first, we're going to talk about what's your favorite musical?
Ooh, that is a great question. Okay, I have two. Can I say two?
Yeah, but I want you to categorize them.
Okay, for sure. So number one is Pippin. Because when I was in third grade, it was like I'd like never seen. It was like one of the first kind of community theater shows that my mom took me to, and immediately when it started and the hands were all you know going crazy, I was like, whatever is going on, I want to be a part of that. So much so that I printed out the script of Pippin and gave it to all of the kids in my third grade class, and was like, we're gonna do this. And no one found it as amusing as I did. But that was sort of the kid that I was at the time. Just like, oh my God, theater, this is the coolest thing ever. And then number two is, Jesus Christ Superstar. Because that was another one where I saw the revival, the last one. And I was like, whatever they're doing, whatever Josh Young is doing up there, I would like to be doing tomorrow. And I like memorized the whole soundtrack the next day. And it's like my go-to shower songs. It's literally like my jam. So a little 70s vibe for you.
I was going to say, you like 70s minimalist musicals is like your jam.
Like, I wonder, I don't know. Maybe that's just because like that was like the community theater shows that were happening at the time. Like,
sure, cheap to produce, baby.
Totally, exactly. So, in like my town of Arizona, there was like 8 productions of Pippin going on. So I was like, sure, that, please.
Yeah, they just passed the glove from theater to theater.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. Oh my God.
That's awesome. Yeah. I don't think we've heard those answers before. Both of them.
Really?
No. I'm just picturing like rival productions of Pippin going to see each other's show. Like, interesting choice they've made.
Well, our Charlemagne was better, but whatever.
I see they've ditched the choreography.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be honest. I've never seen Pippin.
Okay.
I know there's, I think there's one song that's like, there is magic for you, that whole thing, right?
Yes.
Kind of.
Sort of. And then there's obviously the like Corner of the Sky.
Yes.
Correct.
But the only other thing I know about Pippin is that what's her name won a Tony playing like the ringmaster and it was a circus. So is Pippin always a circus?
No.
No.
Actually, I saw a production of it at a college like 3 weeks ago in New Jersey that my friend was in, where all of the, what is usually the, like the players, they were all influencers and it was like a very modern, like each song was like a different app. It was a insane interpretation of it, but no, they are not always, I guess, circus performers.
That's super
very
cool.
Interesting. So, cause then the like casting Pippin in their like world.
Yep.
Very interesting. It's always like traveling performers, Kevin, but I guess a circus was the most recent.
Probably. So the original. So
and Sam, what's her name is Patina Miller.
Sam, you have three sentences to explain the entire plot of Pippin to me. So I understand it's traveling players, but you have three sentences. Let's keep track. All right.
That is the hardest. That is such a hard job because the show is like the most abstract ever. I would just say like boy tries different things and he realizes that those things aren't fulfilling for him.
Great. Sentence one.
Sentence one. His dad is a king and he goes to war with the different knights and stuff and realizes that's not fulfilling.
Great. That's sentence two. One more.
And then in the end, they have this like 7-minute musical number where they try to like get him to jump into a fire, but then he doesn't because he hasn't officially been fulfilled. And then they take the whole set and costumes away and there's a little twist ending. That's my summary of Pippin.
This sounds amazing. It kind of sounds like the sequel to Candide, and I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Like a little bit.
Pippin and Candide are similar in my mind as well.
Yeah, I would buy them in like a 2-pack.
Right.
Like also because someone who plays Candide could play Pippin. You know, a J. Armstrong Johnson type.
They got like Tim Burton to direct the sequel of Candide and like, this is what happens. Like, I'm here for it.
Oh my God, Tim Burton's War as a Science would be very intriguing.
I am here for that.
But you, Kevin, you can they have a live cap of the original Pippin.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I might own it on DVD.
Oh, really?
If you'd like to come over.
Yeah, I got to make this happen.
I think it's on. John Rubenstein. I think it's on Broadway HD.
Oh, it is. It tells me to watch it a lot.
I have that. I should totally check and watch that.
Yeah, I feel like I remember seeing something or reading something that like Pippin was the first show to have commercials with video of the actual show. So that actually boosted ticket sales for it. Something like that. And then Fosse, but it was controversial when it first came out because Fosse, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but Fosse, the original production was... Yeah, I know. the original production was done as like a minstrel show and a commentary on minstrelsy. And so Ben Vereen is the player and the players are kind of through that. And it's commentary on, it's a social commentary and all that stuff. And then the revival one was the circus that you're talking about with Patina Miller. And the trivia for that is like it's the only Tony. It's the only part to win a Tony Award for both in a male for a male role and a female playing that role, or male identifying and female identifying playing the same role. So they won the Tony in different categories for playing the same role.
Interesting.
Oh, interesting.
Something like that.
That's your
anyway.
Pippin.
Yeah. That's our corner of the sky. But
Kevin's corner of the sky.
So Sam, you mentioned 3 years old seeing Pippin. Were there certain movies, musicals you grew up with? Was that your first show ever? Is there an experience of seeing a show that you're like, oh, this changes my whole worldview? Like, didn't it be the best show?
Yeah. Well, I started my first show that I did was when I was 4 years old. I was into like just watching like Sesame Street and whatever. And my grandma took me to see this like community theater production of Aladdin. And when I was 3, and I another moment where I was like, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And, the Jewish Community Center of Scottsdale, Arizona was, doing a production of Into the Woods Jr. And as I hear it, my mom begged them, like 2 weeks after they had cast it. She was like, Sam needs to be doing something. Like I need to like fulfill his need to be in a show. So they cast me as the hen that laid the golden eggs at 4 years old, and they just carried me around. And story goes, I got so excited on our opening night that on my bow, I ran up to the edge of the stage, went down to bow, and fell off the stage.
Oh,
perfect.
I was so excited too.
And you live to tell the tale.
And I've lived to tell the tale.
And you do it again on Broadway every night.
Exactly.
And then did you break your arm and so you had a little cast on it? You wrote Connor on it?
No, you wrote Bubble Boy.
Perfect. I have broken my both of my arms twice.
For
the show, yes. And then
every night.
Specifically my right arm like 70 times.
And it heals by intermission. It's crazy.
It's so crazy.
So as we've established, as we've established, you are young, and you had mentioned before we started doing this recording that you've had a very amazing career that has is very young, but a year and a half of that young career has been within the confines of a pandemic. I guess as a young performer who has momentum, who is insanely talented, like what has it been like for you kind of learning the ropes? Is it easier because like you're learning the rules along with everybody else? Is it harder because people have a step up and they know who they are? Kind of what has that experience been like for you?
I think it's been a mixed bag of emotions. I know how lucky and privileged I am to be coming out of this pandemic with a job that starts in a week or two. I know that, I was very lucky to have this job pre-pandemic it was awful. It was like a terrible time. I actually joined the show halfway through my senior year of high school. So I never got to do any sort of college anything. Mm-hmm. But because of COVID and because I was home and there was like a community college down the street, if there was anything good to come out of college, it was that I was able to like continue my schooling a little bit and like take some classes that I didn't think I was going to have time for and take some kind of like, I took a tap class in my living room and I took a ballet, a ballet class in my garage, like, random stuff that like I did and theory and like things that I just didn't think that I was going to like have the time for because I was doing the show. Mm-hmm. I had the time for. So, COVID for me was definitely scary. And I was in a place where there was a lot of cases and I was in my house a lot, but, being in this job that is like all about kind of being isolated and not connecting with anybody. Sure. It was a really interesting time to like feel that, to have the whole world feel that.
Sure. I mean, in terms of your Evan, obviously you're going to be bringing a lot of this to the role. I guess what's very you about the way that you embody Evan? How would you define your Evan without thinking about like the other Evans that are out there in the world?
Yeah. Well, I think like it was interesting being an understudy for so long and then like being able to be an alternate and sort of develop my own things. I think the age is one thing. Like I did start when I was 17. And so that sort of brings a new level to the character because you don't have to kind of try so hard to believe Evan when he's, lying and doing all this stuff. It sort of comes from a more genuine place. If the actor is 28 or 29, you have to sort of believe a little bit more that this whole kind of make-believe situation is happening. But in terms of just playing the role, I think I bring a sort of, this is going to sound really like a Debbie Downer, but like just a sort of sadness that from the start and a sort of simpleness and a sort of, what even is the word? Just a sort of a sense of from the very beginning of, everything. I want to bring the events of the summer. If you know the show, you'll not kind of make sense, but the events of the summer before, I want that to be like very apparent from the sort of moment that you meet him. And so I don't want the sort of, surprise stuff at the ending to come out of nowhere. So I really try to imbue some sort of sadness from the very start. And I think instead of it being, why is the world against me? And I'm tapping on the glass. And then this whole production, it is And it's really easy to kind of get into that when you're running around and there's the lights and the projectors and everything. But doing it so many times sort of made me realize how much I didn't have to do that, and how the book and how just me being simple and present on stage really can have the same exact effect.
Cool. That's fascinating. That's a really good answer. Do you know where else you have to give good answers?
I think I actually
do. Tuesdays in the corner with Kevin.
Kevin's corner.
Okay, welcome to Kevin's corner, where I get to do whatever I want because it's my corner and it's super cool. So today we are going to be talking about great things to do in New York City in the fall, because I had talked to Sam about how he's never experienced New York City in the fall, which in my opinion, we all love New York City in the summer. We have a hot girl summer. We're all about it. We all love like the spring because it's beautiful coming out of the winter, and like the holiday season's great. But autumn in New York is the best time of the year, hands down. And so we're going to do a two-part Kevin's Corner. Part one, I am going to give Sam, I asked Brian and Kimberly earlier today to give me their three top things about the fall in New York. And I wrote down mine as well. Yay. And so I'm going to give you one from each of us without telling who it's from. And you have to pick which of those three things you would be the most interested in.
Oh my God. Okay.
And we're basically good. I'm going to keep score, and we're going to see which of the three of us wins at Sam's idea of what would be fun. And then I'll go to part two. So first off, here we go. Would you rather go leaf peeping in Central Park? Would you rather go finding the best hot toddy? A non-alcoholic hot toddy, I guess. Or have a cozy evening hopping around from place to place in the West Village.
Okay. I'm not going to say that where I am in this area, but I will say that I am living close to the West Village. And some sort of night out, cozy, you know, hopping places night out would be very fun because I haven't explored this area that much. So that is my answer.
Well, I get 1 point. Boom.
There are a lot of good fireplaces in the West Village.
Okay.
Oh my God, there's so many good fireplaces. It's the best.
So many. Okay.
Question two.
Wait, Kevin, who are the other two?
Oh, leaf peeping in Central Park was?
Brian.
Brian.
Okay, and okay. That was a close-up.
Those leaves.
The best hot toddy was Kimberly.
I perfect my recipe by finding other recipes.
All righty. Number two, New York Comic Con. Wearing my best slippers around the house. Or drinking a pumpkin spice latte while walking along the Hudson River.
Ooh. Okay. I actually think I'm going to go wear my slippers and having a nice, you know, just hang out at the house. I thrive just in my room on Netflix or whatever in my slippers.
Plus, you went out in the West Village, so it makes sense that you
for sure. Next day, I'll have a nice cozy day.
I get it. So that was Kimberly's answer. So Kimberly gets a point.
Thank you.
Who is the nerd that put New York Comic Con? Brian.
Could be anyone.
And then I said the pumpkin spice latte because I am basic and I'm okay with it. All right. Number three, unplugging the AC units and saving on the electric bill. Holiday markets before winter really hits. Or making my mom's chili recipe on a cold night and watching a movie.
Ooh. See, I should probably pick the first one to save me some time and money. Okay. But what was the second one?
Holiday markets before winter really hits.
I think I'm going to choose that. Holiday markets before winter really hits.
And
when I see the little fist bump, come on, don't.
I'm a fall girl.
That's right. That's right. She's got the hair like pumpkins. So
I'm sorry.
Really. It's true. So Kimberly gets 2 points. I got 1 point. Brian got 0 points in that one. And now, Sam.
Yes.
Because Kimberly won, she's going to be working with you on part two. I went and looked up the 31 best things to do in the fall in New York City. And I'm going to give you and Kimberly two of these. And you have to make up a 5-sentence plot for a musical based that would happen at this place or in this location or whatever at this these things.
So, okay.
I'm ready.
The first one is the first thing you should do in New York City. Number one is experience Photoville NYC. And I'll tell you about it. Photoville is back in its 10th year and the second to bring photography to every borough in New York City. The free outdoor pet-friendly photography exhibition is headed to New York City parks all over the city. You won't want to miss it. It's 75 exhibits outside and free online programming. It's basically all these crazy places that you can go and take pictures of yourself. It's like encouraging you to take selfies on this like giant like selfies everywhere kind of thing. So it's this like crazy focused on photography exhibition that's pet friendly and community friendly. And they set up in parks all over the city. So how would you make a musical set in that?
Well, I think, you know, because it's the 10th anniversary and you know this is a big milestone for the company, I think the show centers around the owner. What is it called? Photoville?
Centers around Photoville.
Photoville.
Photoville. Okay.
But people call him Photo Bill. That's his name. He's been running the company for 10 years. But this time he has to leave and he lets his son be in charge of Photoville for the first time.
Absolutely. And who has some crazy, wacky ideas.
Oh, yeah.
Does it go well or not?
Well, it doesn't go well at first because someone starts stealing all of the photos. And, you know, there's a whole mashup of, you know, the different kinds of photographers who are coming in and from all over the world. And they're like, where are my photos? I'm not sure what to do. And it's up to Photo Bill's son to find the person who took them.
I love this. It turned into a good bit. I'm here for it.
Yeah.
All right, you got one more. And this is the stunning Dior exhibit that's coming to the Brooklyn Museum.
The what?
The Dior exhibit.
Ooh.
Christian Dior, designer of dreams, will thoroughly explore the high fashion history of the House of Dior, which dates back to the turn of the 20th century when the brand's namesake, what did he do? Founded the label. The multi-gallery exhibit will bring many of Dior's sources of inspiration to life. The exhibit will present over 200 couture gowns and garments, as well as photographs, archival videos, and all this stuff like that. So it's just like Dior Central happening at the Brooklyn Museum. So how would you put a musical in that?
Well, I think... Kimberly, were you going to...
You know, I was going to go with It's Night at the Museum and the costumes like come to life.
For sure.
And like choose somebody who has come to the museum to wear them. And like they become the person who initially inspired the garment.
Yep. We start with an aspiring fashion designer who
absolutely
ends up getting stuck in the restroom throughout the whole event. And at night, all of the clothes come alive. And she's able to it doesn't go that well. The during the day, the Dior, you know, exhibition doesn't go well. But because of this inspiring fashion designer, she puts her spin on it all during the night. She rearranges the whole collection. She makes it her own. And when people come back the next day, they're like, what happened? It's the exhibition of my dreams. And that's what it's called. Exhibition of my dreams.
Yes.
Done.
I love it. Well done. Well, this has been Kevin's Corner. You mastered that.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Good job.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
I thought you were Kevin's raising player. Your hand. I was about to call on you.
Oh, yeah. You can.
Brian?
Yeah, so I have a quick question for you, Sam. What do you most, aside from performing and actually getting on stage and all that fun stuff, what small thing are you most excited to get back to? Like, what little part of your day, what little part of your process, your prep, are you most excited to kind of bring back into your life?
There's so many things. The first one that comes to mind is I'm really excited for our little backstage antics. It's so funny in a show where we're on stage yelling and crying and screaming at each other that we have the most fun backstage ever. Like, I'll come off from a scene that is like, I hate you, you know, you're just screaming at and crying at someone. And then I'll come back and our Jared's like, so what are we having for lunch today? Like, you know, like little stuff like that where I'm able to sort of balance the heaviness because I need that as a person. I need like just some sort of balance on the other side of it where, because if I come off and I'm still in that headspace, I won't sort of leave that headspace for, you know, minutes, hours. It's just like a really dark place that I don't particularly love going to all the time. So I'm excited to kind of, and we have a lot of new people coming back.
Cool.
Have some kind of new people who haven't been with the show at all. And so it's going to be really fun to sort of start over. And I mean, I know it's only been a year and a half, but I feel like a very different person from when I did it last. And I feel I'm a very different singer. I'm a different actor. And so I'm just sort of excited to like get a redo, like, and sort of start from scratch again and have those little backstage antics and find new, like the new little things. And I'm excited to get notes again. Like, it's so random, like the little thing I'm excited for, but like,
I'm more than happy to give you notes right now.
We'll just come over every night.
Put them in the chat. I'll be waiting.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Cool.
Do you think that backstage environment like has to be kind of like jovial and lighthearted to get everyone through that kind of a show?
Totally. I mean, like, it's really important to have that like balance, because I think if it was, I think if it was somber backstage too, it wouldn't be as effective on stage. Like, there's a certain energy that we can get from being like laughy joke. Oh, now we're in, you know, like something there's some sort of kind of energy or buildup that, that you just don't get if everyone is, already sad backstage. That's not to say that like people aren't in their kind of zone and people, you know, don't prep before going on stage, but I'm, you know, we have a little backstage huddle that we do before the show that I have fond memories of. And, I have, and also like, because I'm the alternate, I only do, two shows a week. And so I'm excited to like, you know, hang out with my cast again. And yeah, we have big board game tournaments and, you know, little stuff like that. And touring is so much fun. I love that part of it too. So all of the above.
Cool. So we're going to play a little word association. So I have a list of things that I'm going to say, and then I want you to just say the first thing that comes to your mind, and we'll go from there. Okay?
Oh, Lord. All right.
Don't think. Just say. Ready?
Yep.
Favorite board game?
Catan.
Favorite video game?
Mario Kart.
Which version?
The one on the Switch, 8.
Sure. What's your Harry Potter house?
Hufflepuff.
Who's your favorite Muppet?
Pepe.
Okay. What's your favorite Pixar movie?
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. I loved Soul.
Okay. Favorite Disney animated movie? Non-Pixar, but animated.
Lion King.
Okay. What's your favorite snack food?
You guys know, Gardetto's, they're like Chex Mix, but like a little, they're like upgraded Chex Mix. They're not like Target or Bodegas. Those are unreal.
Cool.
I'm not familiar. I will find.
I'll look it up.
It's like beach Italian vacation. Oh no. Go ahead. Keep finishing.
It's just like Italian seasoning and they have little different flavors. It's Gardetto's. This is a sponsor.
A beach vacation or a lake house vacation?
Lake house.
Pizza or tacos?
Tacos.
Summer or winter?
Summer.
Nickelodeon or Disney Channel?
Nickelodeon.
Okay. Half hour comedy.
Friends?
Hour drama TV.
Succession.
A Netflix show.
Squid Game. Just watch that.
That's all I got.
Great.
Great words, Brian. Great words.
Thank you. That's all I got.
Sponsored by Gardetto's.
Yeah.
Sponsored by Gardetto's. Get them at your local bodega. Italian seasoning.
You also toured the country besides with Evan Hansen. You toured with the Adams family?
Yeah.
Ooh.
When I was
12, that a weird road trip with Adams family?
Yes. It was a time. I was on the Nonek. I did it for 6 months. Bus and truck with my mom when I was 12. And it was... I think solidified how much I had the time of my life. Like I was eating all the time. I was playing Pugsley. I was like, all right, you know, left and right. We were like in these crazy cities I never heard of. It was just that whole experience was just very formative, I think, of like why I just loved the whole everything. And we all lived together. We all lived in, you know, in the hotels. It was just for a 12-year-old who wouldn't want to do that. That was like really, really great.
Yeah.
It's interesting because like through all your stories, it's very clear that you have a pretty incredible support system to get you to the point that you're at. Like that's pretty wonderful.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like I am so, so lucky that both of my parents have been like super supportive. And I have two younger siblings who like have sort of been strung along for a lot of my journey, and like they are super supportive. And mom, if you're listening, thanks. She probably will.
Awesome.
But yeah, it's just I'm really lucky in that.
That's wonderful.
That's so fun. Does she like touring?
She loves it. Yeah, she's like from this little small town in Michigan. So I think the fact that her son has been touring and was on Broadway and like I think it's just like she just can't believe it. And so she like quit her job and got to tour with me and, sort of, you know, be a roadie for a little while. And I think she was just more than happy with that.
Cool. Well, your That's mom so go fun. To tour with you when you return to tour this year.
she won't be every week. she is there more than I would like her to be. She's like, she'll be like, hey,
once again, hi mom.
Yeah, I'm mom.
Yeah. That's such a mom thing. Like, I'm just going to stop by for this leg of the tour. The whole, all of it. The 2 weeks. Yep, I'll be there.
And then I'll come next week with my friend because she lives here. And then I'll be there the next week because I love that place. And it's like every week she'll find a reason to be there.
That would be my mom. Absolutely. Like, well, I have friends in town, so you'll have to see them. And then we'll have lunch reservations afterwards. And
for sure. I'm like, I just did the show where I'm crying and singing the whole time. I can't go to lunch with your friends.
That's it. You've got to have lunch with your friends.
What's the best thing to unwind at the end of the show? Like, you get back to your hotel room. Like, what is the, like, routine to, like, get out of all that?
Actually, my roommate and I on tour got really into actually playing Catan, the board game, after shows, which is funny because it's a very stressful, like, mm-hmm. you know, high-thinking game. But I think it just distracted me from, like, the two-hour event that I just performed. And,
sure.
and then obviously, like, just, you know, Netflix or being in bed or whatever it is. But I'm really lucky doing the matinees because I can hang out during the night show. So we just where I'm able to sort of have a whole night to decompress after it.
Great.
Cool. Speaking of games, should we play a game?
Yes.
Absolutely. I have a game called Sincerely Empty, in which I have a bunch of musical show cards here in my hands. When it's your turn, I don't know, say when, our favorite pastime, to pick a card and then pick a character from that show and write them a little letter. Like if you get Carousel, say, "Dear Julie Jordan, today is going to be a great day. And here's why: you're going to meet a boy and it's going to not go great for you." and just sort of try and like summarize the plot of the musical as you would say to the lead that they're going to have a great day. Or somebody else random. Kevin, do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay. Tell me when.
When?
Merrily, we roll along.
Okay. I would say, "Dear Mary, today is going to be a great day, and here's why. Because we're actually at the end of the show where you're still an optimistic, lovely, excited writer who has a dream of writing a novel instead of the end of the show where you are a drunk, angry, pessimistic shadow of your former self because of what the industry, your friends, and life did to you. So remember how you feel in this moment and try to carry it a little farther and learn now that Frank is totally a loser. So that you can get rid of those feelings now so that you don't have to be dragged through 30 years of hell. And also, you're going to sing a whole song about the Kennedys, and we're not really sure how it furthers the plot, but like, we're just going to accept that it's there, and we thank you for it. So have a good day."
Don't throw shade in my show.
I will never understand why there's just a random song about the Kennedys. Like,
and Bobby and Johnny and Jack.
That was a deeply sad letter that I liked.
Yeah. I mean, I had to go there.
Oh, no, it was good.
"Dear Mary, get away from your friends."
Find new friends.
Yeah, your
friend. Find new friends. Brian, would you like a turn?
Yeah, sure.
Say when.
When?
1776.
Yes.
"Dear John, sit down."
Old Peter John.
Yeah, I'd be like, "Dear John, you know, you're gonna have a rough time about it. You know, there's you're gonna have to just keep going, keep being obnoxious. Keep being the way that you are because you're going to get a lot done. In order to get it done, do not forget about the slavery in the South. And even though you have to make a lot of concessions to get people to sign the document, make sure that you keep on your journey. And don't forget, like, I know you do, but you can continue to lean on your wife through letters like this one. Cause that's how we know that you are a good person, even though you described as obnoxious quite a bit. Your friend, John. Dear Yay. John, love John.
Honestly, though, that's so true. Not to like make a commercial about that, but like, if you haven't read the letters between John Adams and Abigail Adams, they are like literally love in words, and
they're very sweet.
And it's so insane that at a time where like men were still kind of like, "You're my woman. I tell you what to do, and I do all the thinking." Like he literally treated her like an equal when no one else was, and wrote to her like just the way they speak about each other. It's just like it like tears at your heart. So like if you need a little like love pickup this Halloween season,
famously the time for a love pick me up Halloween.
Because we're talking about how beautiful the fall is in New York. If you want to romanticize that a little bit more, read the John Adams.
Oh, yes, that's true.
I love it.
Anyway, Sam, would you like your turn?
Sure.
Hey, when?
When?
Fiddler on the Roof.
Fiddler on the Roof.
Do you know what that is?
I do know it. Okay. The Jew and me has
Evan only just learned, so.
I did. I just learned a few years ago.
Kevin, can you make me a list of shows you don't know the plot to, and then we can just play games from now on that are, Kevin, guess.
Oh, that's good.
Absolutely, because I seriously.
Great, thank you.
I will do that.
Sam, there's a fiddler on your roof.
Oh, I guess I'm going to have to, Dear Tevye. Good old Tevye, Dear Tevye.
This is God. Yeah.
Talking back. This is actually from The Fiddler. I'm writing as from The Fiddler to Tevye.
Okay.
Dear Tevye, it's all going to work out for your daughters. You know, they're going to find their husbands. They are going to, and you guys aren't going to have to leave. You might have to, but right at the beginning, you know, all the traditions that you want to uphold, they're going to come true for you. You will be a rich man. You know, if you allow me to keep fiddling on your roof, I will be really grateful for you. And I just want you to know that, you know, even though you're going through some tough times right now, you know, hold on and keep going, because you won't have to leave just yet. Dear, sincerely, The Fiddler.
Yay!
Wonderful. All right, someone tell me when.
I like to sleep on the roof.
When?
What? I got the one I made up in my head. Carousel.
Yeah.
So funny. Dear Julie Jordan, today is going to be a great day, and here's why. You're a queer one, Julie Jordan. You're a little bit weird, and some guy's going to like it a little bit, and he's going to talk to you underneath of a tree, and then your friend's going to leave you alone with this man. And you're going to tell a police officer to skedaddle because you can handle yourself, even though you're going to get fired because of this man and his like big brawny arms or something. And you're going to fall in love. And today is going to be great. Today you're going to fall in love. And tomorrow you're going to have to learn how to deal with your consequences. Sincerely, Carrie Pippridge.
I was going to say, like, you just made the plot, but, like, it's so absurd when you think about it the way you just said it. And I was like, literally, she walks through the woods. Her friend leaves her alone with a strange man under a tree. She yells at a cop and then gets fired. Like,
willingly quits her job.
Yeah. Aaron Tveit's Schmigadoon character just completely brought that out too. Like just how behind they were, and that just,
what cologne is that man wearing? She like, what's going on there? The cherry blossoms. That's what did it.
Totally.
So good.
Anyway, that has been Sincerely MT.
Yay!
Yay!
Now, do you have any, since you've been doing this like for a while for being such a young person, do you have advice for other young people who are trying to break out in this industry or this business, or other young people who have like found a way to get in, but like have to figure out how to sustain that?
Yes. I think I would say, I think the biggest thing that has really helped me like just continue to like keep, I guess, doing what I'm doing is just keep training and keep listening to your teachers. And, you know, I like live and breathe by my different voice coaches, and you know, I had an acting teacher at home for a while, and you know, you can always improve your craft, and you can always, I guess I'm still learning myself, and that's sort of why this is my advice, but like, I would not be anywhere without sort of the teachers and directors and people who have kind of guided me here. Mm-hmm. And another thing, like, and then if you are in a show and you are working with a director, like, you know, pick up on the little different things that they say, and, you know, pick and choose what things resonate with you. And, I think if anything, that just should give you a more sort of rounded view of this insane industry that I'm still sort of figuring out.
Amazing. And top three dream roles.
Oh my gosh. That is so super hard. What am I listening to lately? Okay. Well, I'll say Pippin, cause I've never done sure. that. I've been listening to, Lipa's Wild Party recently, and I would love to play Burrs in a while. and what else? And Leo Frank and Parade. Would be the best.
Sure.
I have been nonstop listening to Parade for like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I don't know what it is. You get in like a kick and then you just can't kick it.
Oh, it's the best. And like,
you get a kick and you can't kick it.
Yesterday I was at the gym and I was like, I'm like bopping around on the treadmill and people probably think I'm listening to Taylor Swift, and it is People of Atlanta.
People of Atlanta. Yeah, totally.
Going for it.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's so good.
That is so funny. Yeah, I did it exactly. Like, God forgive me what I wish, just on the treadmill too. Like,
should we play another game?
Oh, absolutely.
Can we do another game?
I have a round of plot points handy, should we wish. Plot points, if you don't know, I have on one tab of my phone, so again, we get to play Say When. One tab of my phone is high school reading lists, and just, you know, books you might have read in high school. And the other tab of my phone is the most popular high school musicals, like what people do in high school.
Cool.
And so, which I'm realizing now is an incorrect way to play this game that I have made up the own rules to. So new rules for today. You will get a book and a musical and just pick a song from that show that you know, sing the tune of that song, mm-hmm. and tell us the plot of the book. Or like, cool. just get us to guess the title, because I didn't read all these books. Sure. I'm looking at these like, I must have skipped around on my high school reading. Interesting, yeah. Interesting. Brian, would you like to go first?
Yeah, sure. I probably at least spark noted them the night before the test.
My mom's a librarian. Exactly,
probably me too. All right, they went quickly for the first.
When? Stop.
Okay. And again.
When? Stop.
Great.
Oh, yeah, you're going to message me.
I'm going to message it to you, then we have to guess.
Okay.
All right, Sam, we got this.
This is harder doing this in person than listening to this. Every time I'm like, how did they not get that? This is...
There are so many witches in Salem, Massachusetts. There are so many witches, oh my dear. they're doing some stuff in the woods and they getting caught.
Is it
Do you know?
And Rent?
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go. Okay, Kevin, your turn. Say when.
When?
Oh. I was like, I clicked on one, so that's yours. Okay. And say when.
When?
I make sure I don't send this to Brian. We send to Kevin.
This is impressive that she's like using the chat while we're drinking. Okay.
It might be spelled wrong.
Oh, I mean, that was not actually a real word, but like I got what
you... No, neither is this, but you know what I mean.
Okay. Yep. All right. Tale about a crime. They've accused the wrong person because of their skin, but there's little kids.
Oh, okay. Okay. I got it. It's To Kill a Mockingbird and Beauty and the Beast.
Correct.
Wonderful. Sam, would you like a turn?
All right, here we go.
Okay, say when.
When?
Atticus and the kids.
Okay, say when.
When. Which I just saw the other day. To Kill a Mockingbird, it was amazing.
So, oh, yeah?
On Broadway or the movie?
On Broadway.
With Celia? Oh. It's Celia and Jeff right now, right?
Yep. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Kevin knows them personally.
Good friends, Celia and Jeff.
Yep. We hang out.
All right. Here we go. Star-crossed lovers. And they're fighting two families who do not get along. And there's a boy, and there is a girl, and they fall in love. Yo, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's Romeo and Juliet and Mamma Mia.
Yep.
Hmm.
Yes.
Wonderful. No, Kevin. Wait, Kevin, what's the name of the musical?
All right, it's Mamma Mia.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay, I'll take a turn. Say when for me.
Mamma Mia.
Mamma Mia, got it. When?
Cool. I think I read these books. Okay.
I love that all your books are plays so far.
You know, just required reading. I vividly remember having to like explain Shakespeare to like a football player once in high school.
Yep. Sure.
And I was like, see, he's talking. Okay. Kevin, don't say when.
When?
I don't know why I just made you the say when person.
I don't know, but I went with it. I went with it.
Right. Okay.
That was a good one.
I loved it.
Okay. I'm going to pick a different song. Nope, this one works. Into society, these sisters go. They have a lot of sisters. They meet a man who lives down the street or kind of through the field. They think that he's mean, but he's really not. He likes this girl, the second oldest.
Okay.
Oh,
it's, I got it.
Go ahead.
No, you can go, Kevin.
It's Into the Woods and Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, but no zombies.
Why would it be Pride and Prejudice and Zombies?
Because that's a real book.
But did we read that in high school? Well, no, we were in high school.
And zombies to be funny.
Well, then you lose. Brian, what was the correct title of the book?
Wait, is it Pride and Prejudice?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. This is Pride and Prejudice and Into the Woods.
Oh, cool.
That has been high school plot points.
Yay. Cool.
Love it.
Well, that does bring us to the end of our episode. Wow. Sam, thank you so much for joining us. This was is very delightful. Anything that you want to say to the people?
Oh my gosh. Well, come see Dear Evan Hansen on Broadway, on the tour in London. We just won the Olivier. So We are opening up in December, and Saturday matinees and Sunday nights on the tour, I'll be there. So, this has been like literally a dream. So like, thanks for having me. This is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Of course. Where can people follow you on the interwebs?
At Sam Primack, P-R-I-M-A-C-K. I feel like should just spell it. Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, I guess now. I don't really know. That whole world scares me, but I guess I should just say that.
Interesting thought. So if they revive Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, and Sam in the lead, is that kind of like Reeve Carney would be like the Andrew Garfield version of Spider-Man, but then like he would be like the Tom Holland version?
It would, that would depend on if it's like a, if it's a brand new production, maybe, I don't know. It depends. There's a lot of factors.
But do you see what I mean? Like I could see him as like the musical theater Tom Holland character.
Oh, I'm ready for it. I saw it and obsessed over it. And I'm ready to, and you will rise above. I'm ready for it. Producers, if you're listening, let's get this rolling.
Wait, Sam, what was your first Broadway show that you saw? Because you're from Arizona.
Yes. My first Broadway show, actually, weird story, was
Spider-Man.
The Max Crumb, Laura Osnes, Grease revival. Because Max Crumb is from Arizona and went to my community theater that I was performing at the time. And my mom, as a joke, was like, well, if this kid wins, I guess I'll take you to see it. Not thinking, this was like week two. We were like, this kid, like he might win. And then like she would, and then when he won, we were like, well, you got to fulfill your promise. And so that was the first show that I saw.
What a good story.
Such a good answer.
Then, oh, here's a really weird full circle. Then like three or four years ago, I directed Grease at that youth theater and he came and saw it.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah, it was a very weird.
Wow.
Did he give you notes?
That is wonderful. your nanny was a little flat on this note. And
well,
that is an amazing answer.
That's an incredible answer. Such a good story to end the podcast with. We, you can follow us at Broadwasted. You can find us on social media, on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook group. You can join our Patreon. You can, of course, find us wherever you get podcasts, including Spotify, including Apple Podcasts. Rate and review us there. 5 stars, please.
And thank you.
And I never have to go outside where germs and microbes have to hide. And strangers offer you a ride. Oh, no. I'm the luckiest boy in the world. That's from Bubble Boy.
May we all be Bubble Boys right now, actually.
May we all be Mr. Bubble. The bubbles, the bubbles, the bubbles, the bubbles. But Sam, thank you so much for joining us. As you know, we end every episode by raising our glasses. And we say, Zoodoo-a.
Zoodoo-a.
Cheers. Thanks, Sam.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.